To be honest with you, I wasn't real satisfied with all those things. I'm like, whoa, well, that was interesting, but we didn't get it done. All right, that's just the way I felt. You know, and I'm not saying it. Now, anytime you sharing the Word of God, I've got great confidence. The sword of the Spirit's the Word of God. If you can get enough Word out, God can do it without you. All right, so you can kind of just keep putting the Word in front of it, and that gives the Spirit of God something to work with. And I'm not saying that what I said wasn't so or all the rest of it. It just wasn't adequate. Now, I was in a dilemma this morning, so here I am, because two parts of my feature or my soul are working against each other. Number one, I like to complete things. I like the sense of this is finished. Isn't that, I like to, there it is, fill it all out. Isn't it beautiful? Which means if I give the message for this morning, that fills it all out, and that finishes. This is kind of like singing three-fourths of the word way through a stanza and say, okay, we'll quit there. If we did that, and you know, you would, the rest of the morning, you would be sitting here, why did he stop? We didn't finish. So there's something in my soul that direction. But there's the other side of it is this. What's the point of going over a truth if you haven't gotten down to concreteness with this? If you haven't come to the place where a person not only can admire what you said and say, well, that's wonderful, but they can also walk away and do it. Right? Sharing with a Sunday school class recently, and if again, because you have to assess where you fit in the ministry, all right, where you fit in the church's ministry. And I think finally, the heart that I have with regards to it, you could describe it this way, is that I want to be a coach. I want to coach. It's wonderful to see great truths, but you have to be a coach. In other words, a coach is a person that helps you do it. Right? You're the one that goes and does it, right? If a coach does his job, a team wins a championship. They don't carry the coach around. They carry the team around. But he's the one that taught them how to do it, how to get there. And it's great hope of my life is that the people who I teach how to do this will go and do it in a great way, and they'll be better than I am. Very often, the athletes are better than the coaches, right? Even those golfers that make millions of dollars a year have guys they go to and they get coached. The coach isn't as good as the golfer, but he can help them. All right, that's my job, is to help people actually do this. So I was finished up last night, and I go home and I'm going like, I don't know if a week from now that will make any difference. And so this morning I sat and I thought I'll split it. I'm going to go over a little bit to help them finish out yesterday, and then I'll do it this morning. But you wouldn't get lunch. The taco salad would go limp up there while we were waiting to get to that, so I wouldn't make it. So that practically won't work. So I finally threw in the towel on this morning's message, and I decided we better go back over this because we're talking about a very practical matter. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit of God? Last night we talked about how important it is. But knowing how important it is isn't going to do you any good unless you know how to do that, all right? I just like saying we, in a house, the electrical system is very important, okay? Now, the next step is how do we get one into the house, all right? Well, that would help, wouldn't it, all right? And at the end, I just thought, I didn't really cover this clearly. And so I want to spend some time this morning. This is a how-to session. This goes from way up here. Okay, let's think about that. Now, how are we going to actually do this? And I realize that those aren't the most elaborate sessions, but they can be very helpful. All right. Now, let me also say this. The Spirit of God is the person of experience in the Christian life. He is the person of God that you experience. That makes it a little more difficult. When we think about the Lord, we trust the Lord with regards to concrete things we can say about Him. He did this on our behalf. He did this on our behalf. But when you interact with the Spirit of God, this is where the experience takes place. Experience always has two sides to it. What actually happened and the way you perceived what happened. Right? It's interesting sometimes when you get done teaching and you have a session where you say, let's have testimonies. You have to have been there to get this. When it's just, you don't know what to do. When a person stands up and gives a testimony about what you said, you're going, no, that's not what I said. You missed it. You missed it completely. completely, but you can't say that because you don't want to wreck the testimony time, but you're going like, you said this, they heard this, all right? Because our experience is a combination of what actually happens and who we are. When you get to teaching concerning the Spirit of God, you would do well, I have to teach a course on the Spirit of God. And one of the problems with teaching that is that you read the books and they different slants. Why are there different slants? Because different people have experienced different things. Your conviction of sin and being brought to Christ is probably completely different than mine. I'm a different personality than you are. What I needed was different than what, but we both went through the process of being brought to repentance and faith. But for some people, that's very dramatic. And for some people, that's very not so dramatic. Some people who have been truly converted, there is every evidence that they have faith and love, don't know when they were. They just don't know. That disturbs some other people who had these dramatic Apostle Paul type of conversions. How could you not know? Well, they didn't seem like. You see, that's the experience that the person had. So they were both interacting with the Spirit of God. There are certain basic things that they both went through, but it can be experienced in a lot of different ways. We're going to talk about a how-to. And when we're talking about this how to be filled, you know, what does it mean? How can you put yourself in the place to be filled? Let me just say, this may work for you. It may not work for you. The principles are the same. But here is a way. How can I come to this? The principles are always the same, but this is a way that has worked. I would also suggest that you read a lot of other books on the Spirit of God. I would suggest one particularly. Jerry White is the chairman of the board for the Institute. He's been greatly influential in my life. He wrote this book called The Spirit and Presence of Christ. All right? It's on the Spirit of God, because the role of the Spirit of God is to bring Christ as a reality to us. That's his job. He will glorify me. All that Jesus won for us is brought to us by the Spirit of God. And he speaks about it there, and it's quite a worthwhile book. There are none back there, but there are ones down in the book table down below, and I would suggest it to you. But you see, if you went to different books and said, how can you be filled with the Spirit of God? They don't all say exactly the same thing. That confused me when I was young. I'm like, well, this guy says this, and this guy says this. Now, they actually do say the same thing, but they're talking about it from different angles, all right? Same principles. We want to think about those this morning, and I'm going to, again, this is just a how-to. I'm going to give you a plan, because to me, it's easier if I do it, or for me, learning is easier if I see it done. I am one of those people. I can read and get it up to a point. I like to do a lot of handyman type of stuff. I just like to know how to build things, all right? So I want to do it myself. I always want to try to say, Dad, can I do this? But of course, I don't know about a lot of these things, so you have to get somebody. So you read a book on it, one of those picture books that says, do this, but you don't know how much more comfortable it is to me if I say, would you attach this to there for me? I want to watch you do it. I'll attach the rest. But I want to watch somebody who really knows what they're doing do it. You don't have to say anything. Just do it. And then I will know how tight you tighten that. Where do you put it on? What's the order? How do you bend it? Okay. Of course, you want to make sure you have somebody that really knows what they're doing. But once they know what they're doing, you do it. And all I have to do is see you do it. When I was going through school, I knew that. I took a lot of notes when I was going through school, but you know, people say, oh, I've kept my notes, I keep going back over them. My notes, I can throw them away as soon as I'm done with the class, because I will never read them. They don't mean a thing to me. I got out of that class. Those notes were to help me fix in my mind. If I didn't fix it while I was writing those notes down, I will not get it later on. That's why I write, because I'm fixing. But I'm going to walk away with what I heard. I will not go back and get a lot more back out of it. That's me, all right? So I want to talk about a way this morning. It may work for you. It may not work for you. I'm going to try to paint it out. I'm going to try to walk you through as much as you can say, here is a way in which I can experience the fullness of the Spirit of God. All right? So let's commit our time to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you and we're asking you to speak to each heart. You know our variations of personality, need, capacity. We're coming to ask you to take your word and speak by your spirit so that we can know the wonder of your life flowing through us, meeting us, lifting us, answering us in our experience. And we're coming to trust you for that. And we would pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, how can we actually experience all this? Right? Back to our passage that we were in last night. I want us to go back to that because we want to try to relate this as much as we can to the actual things that are said concerning the fullness of the Spirit of God. So I want to read the first three verses that lead up to, or the four verses, I guess it is, that lead up to the fullness of the Spirit passage. Here we go. This is chapter 5, verse 15. It says, therefore, be careful how you walk. Remember what walk means? It means living out your life, right? Living out your whole life. Be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, that is people, that's the thought, who don't know where they're going, but as wise. And it says this, what? Making the most of your time. And we said that buying up your opportunities because you're going to have opportunities because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish. And we already mentioned what that means. But understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't get drunk with wine. That's dissipation. That is complete waste and a sinful waste, he says. But be filled with the Spirit. Now, yesterday, again, I am appealing to a lot of what we had said before, but practically speaking, how can we experience that? Now, what is that fullness of the Spirit? At the end of the session last night, we were saying what it is my soul being brought into coordination with what God's doing. And I come to a place where my outlook and God's outlook are so similar, not perfect, but they are similar to the degree to which the Spirit of God can answer to that. Because we are the body of Christ, right? So that He wants to work out His purpose in us in the real circumstances in which we live. And so the sanctifying work of the Spirit of God is to take the members of the body, that's you and me, and change our inward heart to where it's like His heart. Because if I want to stand up here and my legs want to run, we're going to have a problem, all right? If they have their own independent, I mean, they take off and I'm trying to get this done. So it's imperative, if my body is going to help me teach this morning, all right, here's where the thoughts are. If those thoughts are going to be adequately expressed to you, my lips have to go along with this. And the way I do it, my hand has to go along with this. All right? And my eyebrows have to rise at the right time. All right? And my voice has to go up when it's supposed to go up and down when it's supposed to go down. All that at the command of the mind. Now, this is important. Shout it. All right? This is tender. Slow down. Quiet. This they have to think about. Shut up for a moment. All right? You got the idea. So that they have to go along. Now, it's the same thing in the body of Christ. If I am going to do the will of God, what has to happen in my heart? I have to get completely in coordination with what He's trying to do. If I do it, His life flows, and that's really the fullness of the Spirit of God. And I can't repeat last night, or we won't get to the point again. So I'm not going to go back over that, but that's where we were last night. We saw how the fullest thought starts way back in the first prayer, goes through the second prayer, goes through the description of the church, and now he says, now be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, you can't force this because it says be being filled. In other words, you're there, you have to be filled. The idea of fullness, but I don't like the picture of it being poured in. That's not the picture. The picture is coordination. It's an answering. It's an amen. It's not that the Spirit's up here and now it goes over the top and now we're filled. All right, that's not the picture. It means to be in coordination with it. It's something that touches every part of my being and invigorates that being. All right. Now, if I'm going to have that experience, what has to take place? Now, here is a means. It's a path that I think is biblical, and I hope we can demonstrate it's biblical, which would do it. There's lots of other ways. but here's one. All right, the first thing that I want to note about this is I don't believe that being filled with the Spirit of God is a once-for-all circumstance. I used to believe that. You worked and worked and worked, and you tried to get filled with the Spirit of God, and now you're on a different plane and you're filled with the Spirit. But it says, be being filled over and over and over again. So it is a process thing. It's something that if I was filled yesterday, I have to be filled again today, if you would. I have to continue in this. Therefore, I think that some of the patterns that are described of do this, this, and this, the downfall of those patterns is you're going to have to do this, this, and this again tomorrow, and they don't really tell you that. They just tell you do this, and now you have that experience of being filled. Now, you have to maintain what you did. If you do it and maintain it, you will continue to be filled, but this process goes here. Now, we also said something a little earlier in the sessions, and I don't know which one, but we were talking about the way our mind works, and God does work through the He's built us. We already have a mind. It works a certain way, and He works with that. And one of those thoughts is that you have thought patterns. That's what we call them. That's what your culture is. That's why it's so hard for people to overcome their culture, because there are ways they've been taught to think over and over and over and over again. All right? It came from your family. It came from other places. It came from the culture around you. So you all know that Americans do it a certain way. All right? South Americans do it a certain way. All right? It could be different. All right? And what will bother a South American might be different than will bother an American. All right? So that if my dad, and he did, drilled into me on time, on time, on time, on time, on time, on time. That's a pattern that he kind of drilled. I'm not as good at it as he is. I'm not as good, but it's still there in my mind. And as soon as I'm late, I feel guilty. To this day, being late feels guilty. And I mean a minute late. We ate supper at 6 o'clock, not 6:01, 6 o'clock. Lunch, supper. You know, and Mom worked it out. There was a way so Dad could come in there, and it was it. Right? That is a path that has been reinforced in my mind over and over again. It's kind of the way my thinking goes. You have paths that have been reinforced in your mind. If you're going to be filled with the Spirit of God, you have to set new paths that reinforce the right kind of a program. So, first of all, I want to note that what I'm suggesting I'm suggesting you try this for a month. Then you can say, oh, that doesn't work for me. But try it for a month before you say that. All right? So this is something we do over and over again because we're trying to establish a new pattern of thinking, a new highway in our mind. All right? Now, in order to do this, there's three steps. It's just three steps of what to do. All right? This is how-to. I really don't like how-tos, but anyway, here it is. Three steps. The first of all, this is the preliminary. It takes 15 minutes. No more. You could take 10 minutes. You could probably do it in 10 minutes, but probably at the beginning you'll try to take 15 minutes. Okay. I say that it has to happen first thing in the morning. All right? So you need 15 minutes first thing in the morning. All right? Well, that part isn't biblical, but anyway, because we're going to do it, you can see why we have to do it that way. Now, the first thing you want to do when you get to that place, here you are, you're getting alone. The first thing you want to do is put the entire day before the Lord. Now, I know somebody's going to come and tell me that, hey, I don't know what's going to happen. Yeah, you do. You're going to go to this meeting, then you're going to go to lunch. Now, again, say, well, the Lord could come. Well, okay, if He comes, you don't forget everything I said. You know, just don't worry about it, okay? And if the world blows up, that's your excuse too. You know, I know that days can have radical turns. But look back over the last month, and how many days had radical turns to them? If you had too many, you probably are a nervous wreck. All right? Because most of the time you got up and you knew exactly what was going to happen in form. All right? You're going to drink your coffee, then you're going to eat your breakfast, then you're going to go to this, then this is what you're going to do, and 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 then it'll be over, and then you'll flop back into bed. And you pretty much knew how that was going to run. So it's not that we're bringing perfection in. I'm not asking to be a fortune teller. But you know what's out ahead. What you're doing, first of all, is you have to bring your life, because that life is where God's going to be glorified, right? Those are the circumstances in which this is going to be worked out here. So you bring the whole thing. Now, at this point, you're not really praying about it. It's you and the Lord. And you're just saying, in essence, Lord, today. Now, and again, this is where, okay, I have to do something. So instead of just making up something, this is this morning, all right? I get up this morning, and the very first thing that's on my mind is this. Go this way or go this way? In 4 or 5 hours, I've got to speak. And I could give this message or I could give this message. There it is, right? So here's some of the things. So I'm laying the day in front of me. I'm laying this meeting in front of me because I know I was going to be here, right? Unless the Lord comes and I or I die, one or the other, I'm going to be here. And I have to do something. I'm just putting in front of the Lord. I'm not praying about it right now. I'm just putting in front of the Lord. And I'm putting in front of the Lord this point. I have two directions. And right now I also have on my soul, I'm going to have to sometime make a decision as to which way I'm going to go. Okay? When I get done with that, I'm just thinking through the day. When I get done, before that, I'll be preparing. Then I'll do this message. Okay? When I get done with this message, I will go up and eat lunch. That has its own tensions and possibilities for me. Right? Because this is practical. I'm just trying to tell you what's happening. There's a lot of people here. And you've come to meet, and I've had to do a lot of preparation during the week. I haven't talked to a lot of you. And this is going to be my last shot at it. And I'm going to have to decide who I'm going to talk to, and I won't talk to all of you. I might as well be honest with myself, because that's the point. You're putting the day honestly before the Lord. I won't talk to all of them. And so I'm going to have to make decisions about what I do and how long I stay and what, you know, how I'm just putting the day in front. Okay, while this is all going on, it started to rain. All right? You say, well, that's elaborate, isn't it? And here's what happened in my soul. I'm just telling you the truth. Oh, no, not again. I'm just going to be telling you, I am tired of this. I used to say, you should be above that. I should be above that. I know that. And I don't let weather influence me a lot, but this summer has been incredible. We don't have rain in the morning, and I think every day this week it's been raining in the morning. And you're like, have I moved to the northwest? I mean, what is happening here? But the point is this, that was depressing this morning. Now, I'm only saying that for this reason. When you're putting the day in front of you, you put the real day in front of you, or in front of the Lord. It's imperative that you bring the whole thing out. Which is more important, my attitude towards the rain or this message this morning? Okay, well, this message this morning, I'm going to put ahead of the attitude towards the rain. Because while the rain was going on, let me just tell you how my dog limped up. He limped up. Old dog did something the other day. Hurt his back leg. Now, I have to do something about that. What do you do about it? I'm no veterinarian. But it's part of my life. So, well, that's very insignificant. But it's part of my life, right? See, it's imperative, this first part, that you catch this. You have to put your whole life in front of the Lord. All of it, as it actually is. So if you're depressed about the weather, it's not say, Lord, I shouldn't be depressed. I'm not depressed. I won't. No. There it is. I've gotten over it. I want you to know I got over it. So don't, I'm not going to live there, but it was the reaction that I had this morning, and it's the first one that's really gotten to me. I'm like, oh, man. Okay? The dog is there, and you're there. I did nothing personal, but that's also a part. When I get done with lunch, I'm going to have to go, and I'm not going to go all that, but I'm going to have to go do some very mundane things that I really don't want to do, but they need to be done. This just has to be done. This is the time it's got to be done, and I'm going to have to do this and this and this and this. Okay, I lay all that out in front of the Lord. I lay also another factor, and again, I'm not trying to bare my heart. I'm just trying to say, this is the way you have to do it. It's all of it. I have a family situation. It's not with my immediate family. It's a little bit remote, which just hangs on my heart. It just hangs on my heart all the time. It's a problem that just really is a burden all of the time. It comes back to me. You cast your cares on the Lord, and I do. I put this on the Lord, but it's one that is kind of lingering in my soul all the time because I kind of have a responsibility here, and I kind of don't, and I kind of can, and I can, I kind of can't. And that, you know, you just don't know what to do. So here it is. Is it a big deal? No, it's not a big deal, but it's part of my life. All right? It's where I am. It's what I have to face today. All right? It's just, you're only doing this for one day. If you tried to do it for a couple of days, it'd be too much. Now, some of this stuff that you're bringing here, it's not always heavy. Today, you might be going to a birthday party. I mean, you might be having a game of golf. I mean, whatever, you know, it could be all sorts of things. You're bringing your life as it is before the Lord. That's first step, okay? You got that. You have to put the whole thing, both what's going to happen and how you feel. Because God already knows how you feel. Remember I told you about that I learned all these prayers when I was growing up because I just had to sit there and I'm bored to death. And so, okay, you kind of, when you're little, you inadvertently memorize, all right? You just memorize by the fact that it's there. And one of those prayers said this, and it's made a huge difference to me. It's a big help. Eternal God, unto whom all hearts are opened, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid. That's enough of it. What is the point of me saying to God, it doesn't matter whether it rains today, when he just watched me go, oh, no, it's too late. It's too late to tell him it doesn't matter to me because he watched me just go, oh, no. I mean, we're talking about God here. So you put it all out there. Okay, that's the first step because if you don't do that, then you're just playing games with this. So what's that got to do with being filled with the Spirit of God? Now we're going to do a second step. We've got the whole thing laid out here. Now you've got to start taking steps of faith. All right? And we're going back to our passage here. What are some of the things we need to note about that? Make the most of your time. All right? What does that mean? What did we see it meant last night? It means that in this mess, whatever it happens to be that I put out here, the good, the bad, and the ugly, all right, that I put out in front of the Lord, all right, in that, by faith, I am going to anticipate, no matter how mundane it looks to me, there are going to be opportunities for the glory of God today. That's your act of faith. Because it says this. What's the next one? So don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now remember, that is not, I have to know the will of God for what I'm going to say this morning. That is, I have to understand the big purpose of God. Right? You got the idea there. This is just something that you've got all this out here. This is the second step. You are in the process of adjusting your life to what reality is. And the reality is that there is a great purpose, and God has brought me into his purpose. And the details of my life have been arranged by God. You have to believe that. All things are working together for good because he's engineering it. Everything. Everything. The dog's hurt leg. The family pressures. The opportunity to speak. Right? The time I'll be up at the dinner. In there are going to be opportunities. And God has a plan from way back there to way out there. Now, that's an act of faith because a lot of times you look at your life and you say, what are you talking about? But remember where we saw this works out? For slaves that have no control over their circumstance. He says, these are being designed. You live the right way and glorify God. For people in abusive marriages. For kids whose parents aren't what they ought to be. For parents whose kids aren't what they ought to be. So you can go any direction you want. Their circumstances are very mundane. It's not in the grand circumstance, he puts this. It's in the mundane circumstances. You got it? Okay, now, you've adjusted your mind to all this. But you now know that in this there's a plan. So now you are going to pray, right? And what are you going to pray? This is easy. You don't have to write it down because you've already got it memorized. You are going to now stare at what you just put in front of the Lord, and you're going to pray the Lord's Prayer. That's what you're going to do. You're going to take what he said to pray, and you're going to take a look at this. Now, you're not praying about the details at this point, right? Because otherwise it'll take longer than 15 minutes. All you're saying is, this is the things that I have in front of me, and here is my prayer. Let's go down through it. Our Father who's in heaven. I'll start there. Right? This is the way I see getting to the fullness of Spirit. The first thing I want you to note about that is you address your Father. Go through the Sermon on the Mount and see what it says about your Father. The first dilemma that we have with regards to God is our fear of Him. He is an awesome being. He is capable of snuffing us out in a heartbeat. He upholds all things by the word of His power, and He has pure eyes and behold iniquity. But in Christ, He has reconciled the world to Himself. It's a wonderful truth. See, in a reconciliation, you have a fight between friends. And what He did at the cross was paid a price so that His contention with us is over. Isn't that wonderful? His contention with us is over. It was our sin. He's wiped out the sin. And so He can extend, as we said earlier, He can extend to you, to whether you're a little kid or you're not a little kid, right? Whether you're 5 years old or whether you're 100 years old, He can say to you, be reconciled to me. And the moment you're ready to come, it's all settled. His heart's towards you. He is angry with sin every day. He's angry with the sinners every day. But if they'll ever turn around, they can come, right? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. If any man thirst, He doesn't say, if any man thirst, who is a good man, right? That was where the grace was. If any man thirst, let him come. That's not because God doesn't care about sin. That's because on a cross, He reconciled us to Himself. Now, when you come, there might be a bunch of junk in this pile right here that you had to face, right? Because it's part of the facing up. But now you come, our Father. That's how we are to pray in a relationship. And again, I challenge you, I can't go into a depth on that. But that's where you pray. You're praying to your Father. All of His care. And one of the verses right before that, it's very helpful with regards to this pile of stuff out here. You're not to, He says, use many words, because your Father knows what you need before you ask. Because He's already there. He's right with you in all this. And I want to say again, this is important. It doesn't matter why this mess is here. All right? It's very important, because some of you are in this kind of mess. Some of us are in some of this mess because we sinned. Because we were foolish. Because we made big mistakes. I mean, we made big mistakes. Or maybe we made a whole bunch of little mistakes. Some of this mess is our own fault. And that can keep you at bay. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If it mattered, you're sunk. But you're not sunk. Because what? God is a God of grace. God's able to make every kind of grace abound to you. Even the grace to overcome in your life the problems that you've created yourself. If you can't do that, there is no salvation. One of the great words that I heard while I was a student, which has been to me a great help, was that the Christian life, this is in its accurate description, the Christian life is an experience of multiplied new beginnings. You start over and over and over again. Right? If you don't do that, well then, if it couldn't be that way, where would we be? Where would we be? Okay, next step. Okay, we're in there. Our Father, who's in heaven. And here's the big one. Now, with respect to all of this, this is imperative. Hallowed be your name. What that means is, in the situation that's here, in light of the big scheme, you know, I know what the will of God is, your name has to be honored. Right? Here's the mess. But out of this mess, your name has to be honored. You have to be exalted. Now, that's your prayer for the whole world, but the part you have to be concerned about is where you actually are, where your part is in it. It's in my life. It is in this class this morning, this little time. His name has to be exalted, right? Now, lots of other things could come in there. I have to do a good job. No, I don't have to do a good job. His name just has to be exalted. I have to do this. No, his name has to be exalted. You have to think about that. In my dog. Now, this is where you're going, like, come on. His name has to be exalted because it's part of my life. Right? You can't turn the fullness of the Spirit of God on and off. Oh, now I'm at work. Now I'm back to church. Now this is an important part of my life. Now this is not a very important part of my life. It is your life. That's where God's expressing who he is. If your dog is hurt, that's part of it. And how you handle your dog is not just as important, but it's important, right? It's an opportunity. Who knows what God can do through a limpy dog? Right? God can use all things, right, are working together for good. So somewhere in the mess, that doesn't mean that you can prove all this, you can show all this, but we know by faith that it's there, okay? Hallowed be your name. That's the burden. Now, that may not make sense to you. But you say it. Aren't you going? Because you're going, this is the thing. What you're doing is you're putting yourself in line with what God's concerned about in these circumstances. Because you got to be, you have to be the body of Christ in this, right? You have to be his instrument in this. So if you're going to be his instrument under his control, you're going to have to think like he thinks. Lord, glorify your name in this. Bring your kingdom to pass in this. Here's this family relationship out here. Lord, be glorified somehow in this. Bring your kingdom to pass. There's all sorts of other things I'd have been, because I have 5 children. 3 of them in are places where they're still getting established. That's very uncomfortable for a parent. You know, that they're up to that stage. You like them to be settled and into a plan and into a pattern. And when they're not there, you're going, because until they get into a pattern, where could they end up? You know, and that's just parents' heart. All right. But what's important about that? It's not where they end up. It's not how much money they make. It's not whether they're safe or all. What's important is what? That the kingdom of God comes in their lives, that they honor God, that the will of God is done in those circumstances. You could be thinking about your church, you can be all the things you run into in a day, but just handle the one day, all right? Just handle the one day. Does that make sense? Now, this is going to adjust your thinking, all right? It starts to adjust your thinking, because a lot of times we look at those circumstances, and my big concern is the well-being of the person who's involved there. Now, that's not unimportant, but it's not the key importance. If I want to be filled with the Spirit of God, my well-being is not the center of it. Whether I live through this, whether I do a good job, again, I want to say, is not the issue. What you think of me when I get done is not the issue. Whether or not God's glorified is the issue. All right? I have to keep everything. This is what you're doing. You're adjusting your heart to a place where the Spirit of God can do something here. Does that make sense? But it's not the end of the prayer. All right, so let's keep going quickly through it. And he says next, after he gets through those first 3, and those are the imperative. This is what has to happen. Okay, then he says this, give us this day our daily bread. There's some tremendous things that happened here to help you. Number one, it's today, right? Because the Spirit of God works in the immediate present. We're not at lunch yet, all right? We're right here. This is when the eternal God is doing a work by his word in your heart. I have to believe that, or I might as well sit down right now. Not when school starts next summer. Not when I get to the next step. Not when I pray this, you know, if I pray this afternoon, or not when the next chance goes. Not right now. God is the God of the immediate present. And that's a wonderful feature of that prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. All that matters is I make it through today. That's what he's saying. And that's pretty good at limiting, right? Particularly, and I said so many times, I won't go through that again, but Americans, we plan our lives from the beginning to the end. I mean, they want to sell you funeral insurance when you're 20 years old. to make sure you're safe. And you're going like, I haven't lived yet. What do I want to prepare? You know, it's a funny culture. We're always preparing for retirement. But I'm 20. Yes, but you need to be prepared. And so I start thinking way out here. And so people end up living way out here. And then when they get out here, they look back to a past they never had. They never had. Today, you get the chance to walk with God. Today, God can be glorified in this session. Right now, the kingdom of God is coming to pass. Wonderful. So what do I need right now? I need, again, that give us this day our daily bread means everything you need to do what you just asked, that God be glorified. Everything you need. God's able to make every kind of grace. Grace for the dog. Grace for my family. Grace to speak the word of God. Grace to believe him to make this do something in your heart. So there are all sorts of levels, but he has to supply all of my need. It does have to do with the supply of food because you need food. Some of the things you put out in front of him might be financial. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make it through this financially. I just don't know. I don't know what to do with this. Give us this day our daily bread. Right? Get us through this. Right? It's one of those lessons I had to learn a long time ago. If I'm going to walk with the Spirit of God, today's enough. If I get to the end of today and everything's taken care of, I can give thanks and we can wait for tomorrow for the next troubles. All right? Sufficient for the day are the troubles of it. All right? Don't bring in tomorrow's problems. Today's are enough. You got enough to handle, right? And if you do that well every day, you have that, again, another one of those quotes that Mr. Gill gave us. You want to live the Christian life? Live well in the immediate present. Just live well in the immediate present. That's all you have to do. Just live, just do right now. Well, okay, now. So that's the next. Give us this day our daily bread. What's the next petition there? Everybody knows that. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our sins. Because, well, all the books are going to tell you have to be clean. But, you know, you can run into a dilemma here. And it's a circular thinking that can develop. And I thought, this doesn't work. Because one of the requirements for being filled with the Spirit of God was to be freed, clean from sin. But one of the results of having the fullness of the Spirit of God was the ability to overcome sin. I thought, there's a trap. If I have to be filled to overcome sin, but I have to overcome sin in order to be filled, wherever I am at the beginning of this is where I'm going to stay. Right? Because if I am filled, we'll be okay. But if I'm not, we're sunk. So that's not the point. That's not the point. The point is that I'm clean. I've laid hold of a victory here. So you're doing that, right? All you're doing here is saying, Lord, and whatever it is, I have to deal with sin. Okay, what's one sin that I had to deal with today? It's not right to be disturbed by the weather. It's wrong. Okay, I had to deal with it. Okay, but I did feel it. But now you say, oh, that's not a very big sin. It doesn't matter. It's a big sin. It's just, it was there. I said, Lord, I admit it. But I always take comfort in the fact that Paul said, I learned in whatever circumstances I am therein to be content. And that means that through a process of circumstances, he had come to finally the place where he had learned, okay, I can be content. Which means that there was a time when he wasn't content, but he had to learn that that's the way it was, so okay. But it's still wrong, right? I had to confess another thing, okay, I've got to deal with this. And this is a burden to me, and I'm having trouble throwing this, casting this care on the Lord. That's, I shouldn't be having that. This one over here is a nebulous sort of, it keeps eating at my soul. Lord, confess your sins, right? You're asking him to forgive the actual things, whatever they were. They might be much bigger than that. But you're doing that each day, okay? Then comes the next part. I don't want to get through this real quickly. I don't want to belabor it. You can work on it. What's the next part? As we forgive those who trespass against us. That is a huge factor in all this. If the Church of Jesus Christ today would simply forgive the other members of the Church of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God would move mightily on the church. I'm convinced that an enormous amount of our limitations is, I was offended, and they never get over it. And if you can't get over it, well, it can't fill the Spirit of God, because His whole program is grace to the undeserving. Right? That's how we came in the kingdom. I didn't deserve to come in. I was spitting in His face when He said, okay, I'll take him. And He said His love on me, and He brings me into the kingdom. Not quite that bad, but almost. I didn't deserve to be in the kingdom. I had done nasty things about God. I was trying to stay away from Him. I did not like God in His reality. He brings me in. So the Lord says this, that this is the way to pray. Pray to be forgiven. When you're there in that morning, think it through. Just think it through. Is your heart free? It's one of the most important spiritual hygienes you can do. Is my heart free from everybody? Have I forgiven everybody of everything? You got to do it. Sooner or later. Whenever, that's the Lord's word, whenever you stand praying, whenever you do it, whenever. That's their way. They stood and prayed, so we would say it. Whenever you kneel to pray, forgive if you have anything against anyone. I remember we're aiming at how can I be filled with the Spirit of God. You're just praying the prayer, all right? That's what it says. Then finally it says, and deliver us from the evil one. Today, in the middle of all this, keep me from the evil one. Now, that should take just a few minutes, because you're not actually going into detail on this. All you're doing is you've got this all in your mind. You've put this whole life, today's activities and stresses in front of the Lord and said, now, Lord, here's what I'm asking in this. I'm asking you to glorify your name in the middle of this. I'm asking you to supply what I need in order to do that. I'm asking you to forgive me where I'm falling short on that. I'm asking you to enable me to forgive those who around me are falling short with regards to this. And then I'm asking you, because I realize I am weak, to protect me from the evil one who's out there coming at every direction, through culture, through my own flesh, through all sorts of other things. Because what? Now, the last part of that prayer, there is debate about whether it's actually part of the original text, but does finish it out nicely, right? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. It's biblical, whether it's actually in there or not. The thought is biblical. So you finish up there. Now, what have you done? Okay, you've set a path. That won't work for being filled permanently. You say, well, I run into trouble on this. And you get to the other end of the day and say, well, didn't do so good. Okay, we'll do it again tomorrow. All right? And tomorrow. And tomorrow. I'm suggesting that you try it for at least a month. Just set that. Because what you're doing is you're putting yourself, by saying this, you're putting yourself in the place where the Spirit of God can fill you. He can answer to you, because you're putting your heart along His side. You might find at the end of the day, I really blew it. This is a terrific exercise, because where you don't want this to happen will start to come to the surface. Because you'll realize every day, ooh, I really don't care about the kingdom of God. What I care is that I'm suffering and I'm all caught up with myself. And the Spirit of God can say, yeah, yeah, let's get over it. And what are you doing? You're adjusting. And then you're coming closer to that place where your heart and the Spirit of God's heart are the same. You might come to the conclusion, or you might find out that that as you're going through this, that I don't really trust God. I say, I'm going to glorify your name today. That's all I want. But I don't ask Him for the daily need. I'm not actually trusting Him. I'm not asking Him for wisdom. I'm not asking Him for the capacities. I'm just doing it. The Spirit of God says, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Because one of the requirements of those books are going to say you got to have to live by faith. Right? You're going to get it done if you do this prayer, right? Because you're going to... And in the process, you're putting yourself in a place where the Spirit of God can both fill you, but also He can say, This isn't real. If you're honest about your life, if you really brought your life out there, right? But if you keep it up over a period of time, what are you doing? You're creating a mental path, right? You're creating a mental path. And if you create that mental path, here's the wonderful feature, and I can say this is my own testimony, but again, you can do this different ways, but here's the wonderful testimony. Then you're creating a way of thinking that the Spirit of God can force you into instead of the old way of thinking. This becomes your way of thinking. And then when your tire blows out at an inconvenient moment, whose tire ever blew out at a convenient moment? But anyway, at the most inconvenient time, it's always the most inconvenient time the tire is out. The Spirit of God has a path to drive you down. What's that? That this is one of the circumstances which God has allowed. And there's a great big scheme going on. And that scheme isn't the plans you had for here, because God could have prevented this, right? But He's allowed this. And in this situation, He's creating opportunities. You may never know what those opportunities are, but He's creating opportunities. And your heart goes this way instead of, you might have this first. Oh, no. But you're going to get over that, all right? And now you say, what is God's plan? Father, glorify your name. Right? Your kingdom come. Your will be done. My time isn't that important. Nothing's all that important. Because, and we've heard this many times, 5 minutes into eternity, you're being stuck along the side of a road is not going to be on your mind. Right? But if in that being stuck along the side of the road, God created an opportunity for somebody else who was in the car to see how you responded to that, you could have changed that person. And that might be glory to Jesus Christ way out here. That will matter. What actually happens in our lives doesn't make a lot of difference. It's what God does through those circumstances to glorify Jesus Christ that makes a difference. So try that. Because all you're doing is putting yourself into place. If you keep going, you're going to create a pattern which gives God the opportunity to keep bringing you back to the place you have to be. As that takes place, whether you're conscious of it or not, you probably won't be conscious of it, the Spirit of God will begin to fill your life. Because if you trace out the value of the Spirit of God, of the fullness of the Spirit of God, the value of the fullness of the Spirit of God is the grace that He's ministering to the people around you. They know you're filled with the Spirit of God. They may not put it that way. They know grace is reaching them. They know that they receive. You forgive somebody, they appreciate it. They feel great. You don't think of that as being filled with the Spirit of God, but it was. And God will testify to it. So what are 3 points? Put your life in front of the Lord. Start there in the morning. Put it out there. Second thing, remember the scheme you're in. Don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And then don't face what's here with those escapisms that this world is. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Adjust your heart to God's plan for all this. And He'll fill you for His glory. Okay? Well, let's pray. Father, we're coming and we thank You for the enormous potential for Your honor and glory that's represented in this room. We come to give You thanks for what You want to do and what You are doing in our lives and what You want to do, what You want to do today and what You will do tomorrow. We thank You for all these young people in our midst. And we're praying that You will bless them, just like You blessed children when You were on this earth. That You'll put Your hand on them. That You will seal them off from the evil one. You will speak to their hearts. That You will claim them for Yourself. Well, I'm praying for each one of us that You will teach us what it means to so coordinate with Your great purposes on this earth that You're able to fill us and manifest Yourself through us individually and as a body. Lord, do wonderful things for Your praise and glory. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.